Well, good morning again, everybody. Nice to see everybody here today. Today we're going to be looking at, if you want to turn your Bible to basically two main places, Isaiah chapter 43, and then Exodus chapter 14. And of course, you can read along in your Bible, or you can listen to me. I'm going to be reading those verses too. So I encourage you to use your own Bible just because it's good practice. It helps you get familiar with your Bible. So like later on today or tomorrow, if you're at work on break or something, and you're trying to remember, it's like, okay, now what was that, Isaiah 40-something? If you open up your Bible and you turn to Isaiah 40s, you'll find, because you'll remember, oh, it was down at the bottom of the left, or it was up on the top of the right. You'll remember in your Bible where you found those verses in that passage. That's why I always recommend that you get your Bible, draw on that sucker. Absolutely. Highlight that thing, write notes in it, use bookmarks, do whatever you got to do to help you become familiar with your Bible and the Holy Scriptures. Amen? All right. So today we're going to look at specifically the title of God when God, through the Holy Spirit, tells Isaiah to declare that one of his names is the Waymaker. Now, we sing these songs, but I think sometimes we sing wonderful words and wonderful songs, and yes and amen. And I think sometimes there's more to it. That if we could grasp the totality of it and the size of the truth that God's trying to give us, it would literally change our circumstances. So I just want to start out today by making a simple statement I think you guys all agree with. Sometimes we can find ourselves in tough spots. Duh, right? Duh. That's not really all that profound. Well, today I want to talk about how God, the Waymaker, comes to us in our tough spots and brings us out of those tough spots. That's what I'm going to be talking about today. Because he can make a way where there seems to be no way. And as we go through these passages in a couple of different places in the Bible, you'll see that he literally goes out of his way, the Waymaker goes out of his way, to help us in our finite human brains to grasp how big the potential is here. Because sometimes we can think, well, God can only move in my understanding. I don't think God's going to do anything. I just don't see how that's going to work out. I don't know. I'm probably not even going to pray about that. If that's where you find yourself today, I want to encourage you. God wants to change your thinking. He's going to come and he's just going to show us something about himself, about how he's the way maker who makes a way. In fact, he'll make a way the worse it looks, the bigger chance you have of God showing up and doing something amazing. If it looks like, this is pretty reasonable, I just about got this handled, I just need a little help, good luck. God's probably going to let you handle that by yourself. But if you're bumping into something, if you're in a tough spot where you're like, there is no way I can change this, this is way out of my parameter, God, I need a crazy miracle, a big miracle, a parting of the Red Sea miracle, awesome, you're in a perfect place. The more hopeless it seems right now of something changing, the longer this thing's been messing with you, the better off something's going to happen in your life today and this week. So that's what I firmly believe. So do you see Isaiah chapter 43? All right, so we're going to start with verse 15. Now you might remember when we get down to verses 18 and 19, those were actually prophetic verses for this church back on December 31st, Angela Aronauts brought those verses to us as a family. So I've been praying those, studying them, reading them, keeping them in front of myself, in front of this church. And so when we hit those, just kind of remember in the framework of God has been saying this to us literally this whole year about what he wants to do in the impossible situation, how he wants to make a way. So verse 15, this is what God says, through the power of the Holy Spirit in Isaiah. So as Isaiah declares this is the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, declaring this. He says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Hallelujah. God's our creators too, right? He's each one of our personal creators. We are like we are because that's how God made us. There's no accidents. There's no trophies. We're all the same. We're exactly perfect in his eyes because that's what he wanted. We are what he wanted. So when he says, hey, I'm the creator of Israel, hey, he says, I'm the creator of Mike. I'm the creator of Oren. I'm the creator of Jeanette. I'm the creator of Kendall. That's what God says. When he says this, we can make a person like that. He's my creator, and he's my king. That's where he starts out with all of this. Verse 16, thus says the Lord, who makes a way. There it is. If you're wondering where we're going to find this in the Bible, that's it. Isaiah 43, verse 16. That's the one time, the only time you'll find it in your whole Bible, where God says, I am the way maker. That's where all the songs, all the books, everything comes from, that verse. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together and they shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, as in, whoa, behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'll even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, if you can think of, I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but I just want to try to give us a little bit of an idea how big God's talking. When he says he wants to make a way, he's talking about a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That would be like me saying, hey, I want you to see how good of an engineer I am. I want you to see how good I can get things done. I'm going to put a brand new highway through the Rocky Mountains. Dude, put the crack pipe down, right? Isn't that what you'd think? Okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to run a powerful river right through Death Valley in the middle of the Mojave Desert. These are descriptions of things that are absolutely impossible for human beings to do, right? Especially think about this. This was about 700 years before Christ was born. So imagine a prophet standing up and saying these things about God, saying, I'm a way maker because I can do things that are absolutely impossible for the sum total of the humanity to do. I can do this thing. That's what God says. I'm the way maker. So he's also referencing one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. Many of you might have known when he was talking about the mighty waters and making a path through the mighty waters and taking down the chariot and the horse and the army. What he's talking about, if you're new to Christianity or you're not real familiar with some of the Old Testament, it's a very well-known story. This is a story where, you know, Moses goes into Egypt and he tells Pharaoh, he says, God says, let my people go. And, of course, Pharaoh goes, no, thank you very much. I think I'll keep them. All my slaves are really profitable for me. That's how we got to be the most powerful nation on earth, because all of our slaves. So, no, I don't think so. So then Moses does one miracle, does another miracle. God sends 10 plagues. At the end of the 10th plague, Pharaoh's like, oh, my goodness, get out of here. Just go. Take whatever you want. I don't care. Go. And so they leave. Well, I don't think they even made it to the street. They cross the parking lot. They're out on the street. And Pharaoh's like, oh, hold it. Tomorrow's Monday. Who's going to do all the work? I think I was a little hasty in this. Okay, go back and get all of them. That's where we find this story. They've left Egypt. They're on their way. Pharaoh's had a change of heart. He wants them back, so he sends all his armies out after them. They're going like crazy across, like basically out of the suburbs of Egypt. And they're just about to the Red Sea. And so here these guys are. They're really jammed up. Now here's the Red Sea. They can't go across there. Here comes Pharaoh's army. They're really ticked off. We were slaves forever. They're the ruling party. When they come through and recapture us, people are going to die and get tortured and mangled. So it's a horrible place. It looks impossible on both sides. So let's go to Exodus chapter 14. We'll start at verse 12. I wonder if you guys can help me today to bring a little bit of animation to the story. So on this side, when I go, I need your help, could you guys say, don't look back? Okay? Let's practice. Don't look back. Some of you didn't even move your lips. Come on, help me out here.
Don't look back.
Okay, that's okay. Now you guys, when I come over here, could you say, it's a new thing? Yeah, man, look at all these guys. These guys, they got Oren, right? Secret weapon. Okay, so Exodus 14, starting with verse 12. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt? This is all the folk. Now, they're complaining to Moses, saying, see, they're jammed up. This is the people, the crowd, that are still slaves, I think, in many ways, in their heart and in their mind, even though they've been set free. This is slave thinking 101. He says, is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Leave me alone. I just want to be a slave. I don't want this hard work of trying to go into something new. Just leave me alone. I'd rather be a slave. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. And the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to just go forward. So what was he telling them to do? It's a new thing. It's a new thing. It's a new thing. Okay. Just go forward. Verse 16. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they're going to follow you. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I've gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Does any of this sound familiar to anyone? In the midst of all this stuff, especially if you just recently came to the Lord, or if you've just recently started going to church, have you noticed that sometimes when you do that, things get worse, not better? It gets tougher when you make a faith declaration, a faith decision, and you want to start living by faith. It's like the devil just redoubles his efforts to mess with you, to try to discourage you before you get really rooted and grounded in the faithfulness of God. Right? So what do we got to tell ourselves? That's right. What else we got to say? You guys are catching on now. We got something going on now. This is cool. So walking by faith, doing this new thing, sometimes all heck, that's with a K, all heck breaks out. It's just crazy. So verse 19, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land. And the waters were divided, so that the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on the left. So how about that? They're in a scary place. And have you ever noticed, you know, many times like in Hollywood, in the movies, whether the old Ten Commandments, the new Ten Commandments, there's even a cartoon about this whole thing. And it shows, it's like Moses goes up and he lifts up the rod of God, and these things just go woof, right? And they part out, and it's really cool, and it's really neat. The cartoon really shows it cool. The cartoon, they're walking through there, and it shows fish like right next to them on the other side of the water, like they can see them. So that's kind of cool. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that they were jammed up. And here's the Red Sea, and here's Pharaoh and their armies, and they literally are just about here. And God intervenes, and he comes down like in this pillar of cloud and fire and everything, and he kind of separates them. And these guys are camped out right here, and these guys are doing the white knuckle ride here, and they're, ay, 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 what's this? What's tomorrow going to bring? And they're praying, and God, would you do this? And Moses does lift up the rod of God, but it says, the Bible says, that God caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land. So it wasn't a woof. It was like this hurricane wind that came through and blew the water back. Right? Isn't that what the Bible just said? It took all night, and a wind so strong that it could actually separate a sea. That's a pretty profound wind. So how does that affect, like, us? How would that interpret to us? Well, just think of something that you're praying for right now. Maybe you've been praying for it all week. Maybe you've been praying for it all year. Maybe you've been praying for it for 10, 15, 20 years. There's some things I've been praying for 30 years for. Oftentimes, you start praying for something, and all heck breaks loose. Here these guys are saying, oh, Lord, you got to do something. Hey, Moses, you really jammed us up. It would have been better if I could have just stayed a slave over there than come out here and die in this dump. I can't believe, Moses, you're such a loser. Think all the stuff they were saying. Moses says, hold on, let me talk to the boss. I'll get back to you. It's going to be okay. God's going to make a way. And then this storm hits. We're waiting for an answer for God to bring peace, and the storm hits, and the wind hits so hard all night that it parts the sea. Have you ever thought about that? Usually it's supposed to be this nice, whoosh, oh, awesome. Even the ground's dry. Oh, cool, man. I knew God was going to. It wasn't like that. This whole night of worrying about when Pharaoh's going to come through here also is a hurricane wind blowing our camp up. Anybody ever camped where there's a lot of wind? The fun disappears. Right? You're chasing stuff, trying to. It's like, what do I want the most? That's what you chase first. And then after you get the most important stuff, then you go back for the sweatshirt and the socks and that kind of stuff. Hopefully your tent's not in a tree. That's where these guys are. It's like, wow. And the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Verse 23. And the Egyptians, so these guys, the water's walled up, it's blown all night, and these guys start walking through. Verse 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. I like that. That sounds so almost innocent. But when God gives you trouble, you got to know you got a full batch of trouble, right? It ain't like me troubling you. When God troubles you, bad things start happening. It says, so the Lord troubled the Egyptians. Verse 25, and he took off the chariot wheels. Uh-oh. And so they drove them with difficulty. Yeah, I'll bet they did. And the Egyptians said, well, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. They could see it. Those guys saw what was going on. Whether the Israelites knew God was fighting for them or not, the Egyptians knew that God was fighting for the Israelites. Verse 26, then the Lord says to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, and that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. Wow. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which God had done in Egypt, so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So what an amazing story about you're leaving an old way of life, which, don't look back. There we go. Okay. Thank you, Denise. And what was happening? There's a new thing coming on. There we go. Come on. We got to stay. If you don't remember anything else that I say today, remember those two things. Don't look back. It's a new thing. Really, that's the answer today's, the whole question, the answer, the whole point of this whole sermon. The Waymaker will always show us where to go, even when it's one step at a time. You know, I don't know about you guys. I'll just talk about me. When I pray, I want to see supernatural. I do. I want to see kapow. I want to see kazam. I want to see the power of God show up and something amazing happen. Every time I pray, I want to see that. A lot of times that doesn't happen. I'll just be honest. Sometimes, once in a while, it does. But a lot of times it doesn't. A lot of times when I'm praying for direction, I'll just get a general sense of just stay the course or work at this place. Redouble your efforts in what you're doing. A lot of times, God's plan for your life looks like this. One step at a time, doing what you know to do. going where you know to go. Just one step at a time, staying faithful, staying consistent, going in the direction that you believe God has already gave you for your life. That's what it looks like a lot. This is what Nehemiah says. You don't have to turn the, you can jot it down if you want for later, but Nehemiah 9, verses 10, 11, and 12. This is how Nehemiah talks about this story out of Exodus that Isaiah quoted. Nehemiah says, "You showed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants, against all the people of his land. And you knew that they acted proudly against them. So you made a name for yourself as it is this day. And you divided the sea before them so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land. And their persecutors you threw into the deep, as a stone into the mighty waters." Verse 12. "Moreover," he's actually talking about the Israelites, "you led them by day with a cloudy pillar and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the road which they should travel." It's really amazing when you think of this thing. I've tried to picture it so many times over the years. This cloud would change daily as it led the Israelites through the desert. If you continue to read in Exodus, you'll see there's several chapters that talks about after they make it through the Red Sea and that closes and there's no more Pharaoh, and they're heading out into the Promised Land. As they're going into the Promised Land, God in this pillar of fire would sometimes move at night. And so the direction that they had all been given, anytime God moves, you move. Anytime God stops, you stop. So the fiery cloud would leave at night. So they got to follow this thing at night. Then it would stop. And so then you stop. Sometimes it go during the day. You go during the day. When it stops, you stop. So this thing would change. Imagine, it says sometimes they'd be in places for years. Sometimes they'd be in places just for a couple days. So imagine day by day, you've got this whole camp of Israelites, of people in faith. And here's this pillar who during the day, it's a cloudy pillar. I don't know, did it look like a tornado standing still? I don't know what that looked like. What is a cloud that goes from heaven into the ground? I don't think it was just stagnant. I don't think it looked like a cube. I think it was full of action and power and sound. And I think maybe if you got too close, you could feel the ground shaking. That's just me. The Bible doesn't say that. I'm just trying to picture God in a cloud on earth. I think it would be different than any other cloud you've ever seen in the sky. So that's what it is during the day. And then somewhere around dusk, it starts changing. Somewhere around dusk, this thing, the light starts coming on. Does the whole thing just start glowing? Does just a bright light in the middle that spreads as there flashes a lightning until this thing is just so bright it looks like the sun during the night? I don't know. I don't know what this thing looked like. But every single day at dusk, and oh, by the way, reverse it at dawn, this cloud would turn into a pillar of light, and then the pillar of light turned into a cloud twice a day, night and morning. Where would you hang out if you was in that camp? I wouldn't be over there by the campfires. I'd be over here at least twice a day. This is where you could find me, watching the light show, at least twice a day. He says, "Moreover, you led them every day by this cloudy pillar and at night by a pillar of fire to give them light for the road that they should travel on." For me, this is such an amazing story of God's direction. Daily care, daily, like almost God going out of his way to make a way for all of us to follow. And I know we don't have a pillar of light and this amazing lightning cloud that's stacked up. And how far up did it go? If it was out in our parking lot, would it go as far? I mean, you're like this looking up. Jobez, how far up is it going? I don't know. I don't see it either. Whoa. Did you watch it last night? Yeah, man. It was the same thing. Where you been? Oh, looking at the fiery cloud. It's just such an amazing thing to know that the waymaker that made a way through the Red Sea, the waymaker who can change a cloud into the bright as the sun and back again daily, is working for us. The same God who says, "I am the waymaker," is the same God of Andy today. He's the same God of Paul and Cindy today, right now. It's the same God. He didn't go, "Well, look in the Old Testament. I'm going to do my best stuff there, and you guys can read about it, but don't really ask for much." Never. I don't know where that kind of thinking came from. He is the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is our God. His plan for us always, say always, always includes us being set free. Always. This whole story starts out by every single Israelite, and I'll bet some of them were super faithful, doing everything right, and I'll bet some of them looked a lot like us, not doing everything right. Right? All of them got set free. All. That means all of us, this is a premise, this is a truth throughout history, eternity. All of us can expect freedom. Not all of us are going to be used maybe to talk to a king like Moses did. Not all of us are going to go through different things like we see in the Old Testament. But freedom, all of us can expect freedom. This is what Psalm 106 says. He's, again, talking about the same story. The psalmist says this, 106 verses 8 through 12. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. Hallelujah. None of us got saved because we earned it. None of us got saved because we deserved it, because somehow we have the worth to be a person that gets saved. All of us got saved for his name's sake. What an example of how great God is. Is there anything greater than when he takes people like me and you, in the midst of all of our sin, in the midst of all of our mess, in the midst of all of our trouble, and he comes to us and saves us? Long before we're good or even want to be good, he comes and saves us. It can only result in us going, "You're awesome. Thank you for saving me. I didn't deserve it, and yet you still came to me and saved me. Thank you. You're the way maker. It sure seemed impossible, but you made a way." Psalm 106, verse 8. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words and they sang his praise. Whew. Amen. Amen and amen. So what was the one thing we can't do?
Don't look back
because it's a new thing happening. When we're concentrated on those two simple things, doesn't it make us want to just go, "God, you're so good. I don't have to look back at those other nasty days I had. There's a new thing happening. Hallelujah, I want to sing. Hallelujah, I want to praise God because there's something new happening." And guess what? We haven't even seen all the new. That's why it's new. There's new mercies every day. So as good as this is, and good is happening all over the place, and good things are just beginning, it's going to get better at getting good. That's what the Bible says. And when they believe this, when they believe his word, they start singing praise. One hand washes the other. The Pharaoh that we fight now is an unseen one. This Pharaoh, they could look out over the hill and they could see the chariots coming and they could see the swordsmen and they could see the whole thing. They got it. They could see it, knew it, count it, got it. The Pharaoh we got that we're fighting, us, you can't see our Pharaoh. He's an invisible enemy. And he messes with us on the inside, and he messes with people around us on the inside. So sometimes when we're getting messed with by our Pharaoh, it actually looks like a person we love. It looks like a person that we're working next to or our neighbor. You can tell that he's doing it because the devil, Satan, the hater of our souls, our enemy, our Pharaoh, our current modern-day Pharaoh, hates our guts and wants to destroy us. He's not just trying to bum us out a little bit. His ultimate goal is to cause us to reject faith in God and or kill us, but he'll settle for either one. He honestly will. So he pushes all of our buttons. Our Pharaoh, what he's after now, he wanted to catch those guys, chain them up, and drag them back into Egypt. Our Pharaoh, our modern Pharaoh, he wants to push our buttons. He wants to mess with us. He wants to oppress us on the inside, so that the chains on us look a lot like anger. We're constantly angry. Or resentment. Most things, anything good happens, anything new starts happening, we're resentful. Yeah, it might look nicer, but that'll break too. Yeah, that might look like it's getting better, but it'll stop. Anybody know people like that? Anybody ever said those kind of words? How about bitterness? Somebody's name comes up, you're still mad at them, you haven't seen them in 4 years. How about loneliness? Loneliness is another one nowadays. There's so many people that are lonely, even though they're surrounded by people. That's a chain. That is a chain that Pharaoh wants to keep us captive with. How about depression? I think depression is one of the worst chains that we see used nowadays by the modern Pharaoh. How about offense? Being offended with someone. And again, a perfect stranger can do a lot, and you won't get offended. You might shake your head and walk away and go, wow, is that guy a bonehead? But you're not going to be like upset all day long. Can you believe he cut me off with his card at Myers? I am just furious. By the time you get in the car, you forgot even what he looked like. But let a loved one hurt you. And we can be offended deeply for weeks, months, years. It's just like going, okay, go ahead, slap the chains on me. I'll just be bound with that bitterness, that offense, that hopelessness, that resentment, the bitterness, the anger. But like I said, it's God's heart. The way maker is for us to walk in freedom from that junk. Do you know all of our outward addictions are based on an inward chain? If you're struggling with alcoholism or heroin or crack or marijuana or alcohol or porn or you go through all the stuff that you might be struggling with, all of that is because there's an internal chain on you. There's something in you that has anger or resentment or bitterness or loneliness or depression or offense or hopelessness. There's something that needs to be broken off and be healed. This is what it says in Acts about Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus' job description is this time. I love saying job descriptions because all the years that I was in manufacturing and management and all this stuff, you had at least once a year, if not biannually, job reviews. And so you could just take out the piece of paper and you say, well, this is your job description. And then you can see if the person did it. If they're doing it, awesome, great. You get to max out. This is your race. If they're not doing it, then you got to go, well, actually you should be this, and you're not doing that. So job descriptions make it very plain for what we can expect from a person. Listen to this job description of Jesus Christ. Acts 10:38. They're saying, you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. All. Healing all. That's job description of Jesus. For all of us to be free. All of us to be set free from the oppression of the devil. I love Jeremiah 29:11. I say it often. You guys probably already know it by heart because I say it so often. God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Right? That's what God says. So what's this side? What do you have to remember?
Don't look back.
That's right. And this side? It's a new thing. So we're not going to look back. It's a new thing. Remember when I said that these slaves, when it got really rough, when they found themselves in a tough spot, they started criticizing and saying, they literally said, it would have been better if I could have just, let me just look back for a second. It would have been better if I could have just stayed there as a slave. Then I wouldn't have had to come up in here all this mess and worry about this new thing that's going to hit me. Hello? When we're in tough spots, sometimes our thinking can be like that. You know what? Maybe I ought to just go get drunk and that'll just help this a little bit. You know what? I'm just going to go get a small bag of weed. I'm not going to get an ounce this time. I'll just get a little bit. I just want to roll a few and just smoke it. That just helped me so much. You know what? I'm just going to get a little bit of porn. I'll be on there for about 15 minutes. We do that kind of junk, people, and we need to go, no, hold on a second. I'm not looking back. I ain't looking back at all that stuff. There's a reason I wanted to leave there. I was a slave. I'm not no slave. The Waymaker says I'm free. The Waymaker says that Jesus, his son, came to heal me and set me free of all oppression. All addictions are oppression. I've talked to so many people that say, well, I do this, but I only do it this much. Like, let's say alcohol. They used to get drunk every single weekend. Now they only get drunk one weekend a month. So they'll literally tell me, I've got it handled. I'm managing it. I said, okay, well then that once a month thing, do you feel like you're free? Huh? And so you said you're doing good, you're managing it. Would you describe yourself as free? They literally can't answer that. Because they know they're not free. they're still on the same leash. The leash is a little longer. Instead of having to go back once a week, a short leash, now you only have to go once a month. It's a little longer leash, but still on a leash. It's still a chain. Do you have any chains in your life that you want to believe God for? Because His plan, a good plan full of hope, doesn't include chains. The Waymaker breaks chains. The Waymaker sets us free inside from all that garbage and sets us free on the outside from addictions. That's the Waymaker. Do you know that even Jesus had to walk through stuff? Even Jesus, as He is one step at a time, trying to do God's will, one step at a time, just easy peasy speaking the truth. Even as He did that, the devil came at Him and tried to blow Him out of there. Listen, I know most of you guys will remember these things. How about when the group of people, the citizens of Nazareth, grabbed Jesus and tried to throw Him off the cliff? I would say that's disrupting God's plans for your life, right? When a whole mob comes out and wants to try to kill you, but Jesus escaped from them. How about the time and time again when the religious people, like the Levites and the Sadducees, the Pharisees, would come at Jesus and take Him. That time they were going to throw Him off the cliff. But other times they threatened to stone Him. There was times that they were going to kill Him, and yet Jesus was able to walk through that and keep His way in God's plan for His life. Jesus wasn't any different than us. As He tried to do God's will, the enemy tried to stop Him. Even to the point, how about when Satan moved people to crucify Jesus? As Jesus didn't do anything bad, He didn't murder people. Jesus wasn't some horrible gangbanger or some crazy KKK guy. Jesus walked around telling people about the love of God, and people crucified Him. Literally died. He died. Horrible death. But even in that, the Waymaker made a way. Now think about, earlier I said, think about something that you would love to see God make a way in. Is there anything in your life, anything that you're praying for, anything you're struggling with, that seems as impossible as someone coming back from the dead? For God to be the Waymaker, when Jesus died on His cross, for God to be the Waymaker, He had to do something brand new that had never been done before, literally bringing someone back from the dead. What about your problem? The Waymaker can make a way, even where there seems to be no way. The Waymaker can do this. So let's start bringing this back to a close. Let's go back to Isaiah 43 where we started. Isaiah 43, starting with verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What's one thing we got to remember about today? We don't look back, right? What's the second thing we got to remember? God's doing a new thing. We don't look back. God's doing a new thing. Do you want to see God's plan for your life? Do you want to take a step of faith that takes you into this plan? Are you ready to step into a new day? Because to do that, there's just a few simple things we really have to do. We have to leave Egypt if we're ever going to get in the promised land. You know what I mean by that? I know when I first got saved, and it was a long time ago now, but the truth is still the truth. When I first got saved, I had people telling me that I had such a great testimony about being set free of alcohol that I should go to bars and witness to people. Thank God I had some people telling me, don't do that. If you go and sit in the bar as a recently set free alcoholic, you will start drinking again. It won't end well. Thank God. So much of Egypt I left. By that, what I mean by that, I didn't go to bars anymore. Excuse me. If I went with my old friends that drank, I would just tell them, look, I don't want to hang out when you're drinking, but if you want to do something without the booze, then you know we can go hang. That'd be great. So they really didn't want to hang around with a born-again Christian that wasn't drinking. And I didn't want to hang around with guys that reminded me a lot like I used to be. So that was what it was. So I had to leave Egypt. It was costly because those were my best friends. And so when I came to Christ and I left Egypt, a lot of my friends wanted to stay in Egypt. And I ain't going back to Egypt. Just like in Tool and Die. When I left Tool and Die to be a pastor, you'll find my tools in other toolboxes. I didn't keep a plan B. I sold my tools. When I left Egypt, I didn't make any arrangements to go back to Egypt. I'm going somewhere. I don't want to look back. If I'm looking back, have you ever tried driving down the road and watching your rearview mirror for like 10 minutes? 2 days? Try doing it the rest of the day. When you leave here today, don't look out front. Just look in your rearview mirror. I know, right? But as Christians, don't we do that? We do it all the time. Well, let's pray for this guy to get healed. Nope, I'm not going to, because we prayed that one time they didn't get healed. Okay. Wow, you really hurt me. I should forgive you. Nope, I'm not going to, because that one time, that one person, I forgave them. They did it again, so I ain't going to forgive. We do it all the time. As Christians, we live with our eyes looking in the rearview mirror. Man, my boss is such a jerk. I'm not going to pray for him because he's never changed. That guy's just unchanging. I'm not going to do it anymore. That's looking in the rearview mirror. Right? If God's doing a new thing, we can't look in the back. We have to live by faith. We have to get rid of our old stinking thinking. It comes down to that. It's a very easy thing to remember. We have to leave Egypt before we're going to go anywhere. If we don't leave Egypt, guess where we're at? Egypt. This stuff is very simple. It really is. It's some of it's not easy, but it is simple. If we're going to leave Egypt, we have to leave Egypt. Verse 18 says, don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. You know, one of our greatest enemies is our past, the failures in the past. Well, maybe I can do great things for God. No, the last 3 years I really haven't done much. I haven't changed. I still don't like this about me. You know, one time I did this, and one time I failed at that, and that guy said that about me. And we just run those tapes over and over and over until we don't even think we can turn a page in a book right. It's like he says, come on, if we're going to get into this promised land, if we're going to see some great things of God, if we're going to fulfill his good plan for our life, we can't look back. He says, don't remember them and don't consider them. There's two different things going on. Because we'll remember our failures, and then we'll meditate on them for a while. We'll chew on a failure for like 20 minutes until we totally discourage ourselves. We're totally bummed out. And then somebody says, hey, you want to come pray? No, I don't want to pray. I want to sit right here in my little pity party and feel bad for myself. What? Didn't you just go to church? Yeah. Okay. It means we have to stop thinking like. Listen to these statements. We have to quit this kind of thinking. This won't change. It never has. Does that sound familiar? How about this one? This is going to end bad. It always does. Forget that old junk. Forget it. Don't even remember it. And if you do remember it, identify it. Go, oh, that's the past. That is not now. That's the past. Throw away. Literally, you have to grab that thought and just throw it away. That's in the past. Go away. This is my future. The promises of God are my future. Not what I've experienced. That's in the past. That is gone. I'm not going to be stuck there. I'm not going to remember it. I'm not going to count on it. I'm not going to celebrate. I'm not going to talk about it. Sometimes the worst thing we can do for ourselves to keep us stuck in Egypt is keep talking about Egypt. Can you believe that time when Joey did this to me? Can you believe that he did this and this? Yeah, Mike, I know you said that last week. I know, but you know, it was really bogus how he said this to me and then he did this. Yeah, I know, Mike, you said that last week and the week before that and the week. Let's talk about something else. Well, I know, but I just couldn't believe that Joey came up to me and it's like, dude, you are so stuck. Break the record. Snap that puppy in two and throw it away. I'm not going to talk about Joey anymore. Right? So I'm going to quit saying things like that won't change. It never has. This is going to end bad. It always does. I'm just going to quit that. I'm going to start talking about, behold, it's a new thing. God says it's so new. This is what I find really exciting. He doesn't say this is a new thing. Draw chalk lines so you can see if something moves. He says, behold, it's a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. That takes us back to like praying for the supernatural and kapow! Wow, we're going to be surprised. Something big, it's going to spring forth. It's going to be awesome. Behold, I'll do a new thing. Shall it not spring forth? After we turn from our old, normal way of thinking and we focus on God's promise for the future, hope arises. And when hope arises, faith arises. Faith and hope are stuck right in together. And when that happens, God answers faith. He does. He doesn't answer screaming and crying and bawling and squalling. He won't. He responds to faith. It's by faith that God honors his word. If you believe him, he'll do it. If you believe God, he'll do it. So as we quit our old thinking, we fasten our minds on something new, then we can start believing for some big stuff. And so I'm going to close with prayer here in just a second. And I'm just going to ask for anyone that maybe the Holy Spirit stirred something in your heart. Maybe there's just something that you're like, you know what, God, I need something to happen. I need something to change in this situation over here. And I want to see the way maker make a way. If that's you, in just a second, I'm going to ask for anyone that wants prayer to stand up. And by standing up, that's like an act of faith. It's exercising your faith, saying, Lord, I believe that you're going to do this enough to where I'm going to stand up. And I'm going to close my eyes and stand up because I don't want to see who else is standing up. I don't even want to know about all that stuff. It's you and me, Waymaker. I want to see something happen. God says he's the God, he's the Waymaker that can put a superhighway through the Rocky Mountains, and he can put the Amazon River through the Mojave Desert. He's the Waymaker. That's how big of a Waymaker he is. So let's wrap this up, and just let's have everybody just close your eyes, and if you want to see the Waymaker pronounce his name to you and make a new way in your life, just go ahead and stand up right now. Praise you, Lord. Just praise and exalt you, Lord. Praise and exalt you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you that before I ever said a word, we sang the song that declared you as the way maker, that even now you're touching hearts. That's what one of the phrases in that song said. Even now you're touching hearts. Even now. And so, Lord, I'm just going to read back to you, Father, your word, and I pray that you would watch over it to perform it, that you'd bring it to pass in every single person's life who's standing up. You say, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Father, I proclaim your word over every single person here in this building. I ask that you would glorify your name because of who you are and bring these things to pass. Lord, I talked about heart conditions. I talked about different kinds of chains that hold us inside and different kinds of chains that hold us on the outside. Would you break these chains now in Jesus' name? Father, would you bring wholeness and freedom to your flock? When we're whole and we're free, nothing else can stop your plans. I've heard so many people, Lord, as I was saying earlier, say that they're managing something, saying that they're in control of something because they're doing it less or doing it a little differently, but they're still hooked. Father, would you please bring true freedom to every man, woman, and child in this building right now in Jesus' name. True freedom. And Father, would you please, just like it says in Acts 10:38, Lord Jesus, you came to heal everyone who was oppressed. Father, would you do that right now through the power of the Holy Spirit in this place? Heal every single person here right now who is oppressed. I pray this in Jesus Christ's mighty name. And Lord, I bless your sons and daughters, because that's who they are, your sons and daughters. I bless them into your plans, your purposes for their lives. I read today, Lord, that you have a good plan and purpose for each one of our lives. I bless them into that truth. It's a fact. It's a biblical fact that you have a good plan for all of our lives. I bless them into that in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you, more than anything in us or around us or anything that we may do. Father, would you please bring glory to your name and glory to the one and only, the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who's changed our everything. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Go ahead and be seated. I just want to remind us all, there's a lot of great things going on over the next couple of weeks. And a lot of the things that we're doing now is intentional. One of the books that I'm reading is, it's really helping me to clarify some of my thinking. In the one of the sentences that this author asks many times over and over and over, probably every couple of pages, is, by the way, the title of this book is An Unstuck Church. So it's a way for, if you feel like your church is stuck, to get unstuck. I don't think we're stuck. I think maybe we used to be stuck, but I don't think we're stuck anymore. I think we're kind of, in some ways, like a church plant. Because there's so many new people coming in that we have new things going on. It's a new day. So I just want to identify some of my bad old habits, and I want to start good new habits. And so that's why I got this book and I'm reading it. But the question that he constantly asks is this. He says, at your church, you have to ask yourself, you have to be honest with you. What's the most important thing at your church? Is it to do things for the people that are already here, or is it to do things for the people that aren't there yet? And just be honest with yourself and then schedule according to that. So there's no guilt either way. There's no shame either way. But I think for us, where we're at and where we're going on in this church, I think we have to really be truthful with ourselves and saying, what we're doing right now and how we do things, is it for those of us already here or is it for people that aren't here yet? For me, my heart, obviously it's a balance, but I want my thinking more for the people that aren't here yet. Would you agree with that? I think that's our heart here. And so today we just heard this awesome message. I think God stirred us. God touched us. I think faith arose. And I think great things happen. And we have to take this out of the building. We have to take this. We have to bring it to coworkers. We're going to be around our family in just the next week or two, with starting with Thanksgiving parties and Christmas parties and all the special time. It's a great time of year for us to tell somebody about the Waymaker. Because we've heard about God a lot of different ways. People that aren't in church, you've heard about a lot of things about God and Christianity and church life and all this stuff. But very seldom have the unchurched heard that one of God's name is a way maker. And no matter what kind of a tough spot they're in, God can make a way for them. People want to hear that. We need to hear hope right now, all of us, the church and the not yet church. We need to hear hope. We need to be encouraged. So I just want to encourage you with that. God touched us today, and God showed us his goodness. Let's share that. Let's go out and make sure the people in our lives, the people closest to us, know that my God is a way-making God, and he'll make a way for them. Amen? So take a look at the bulletin. Just remind yourself of the stuff you want to do this next week or two. Maybe pray a little bit. Say, hey, God, who can I invite to this Christmas meal? This is really different. They wouldn't probably come to a church service, but they might come to a meal, right? There's a men's meeting coming up. We're just going to put the feed bags on. Come on. Tell me what guy that don't like eating. That'll be an easy one to invite people to. We have a prayer meeting tomorrow. We got a lot of good things going on. For those of us already here, yep, and for people that ain't here yet. Amen. God bless you, and have a great week.